I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
Now, it's not often that I get to interview somebody whose company I get pitched to for some of the amazing guests that you all hear from on the show. So I'm very delighted to have Tom Schwab of Interview Valet as our guest today on Your Brand Amplified.
Anika, I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you so much for giving us your time today. Tom, you are really a pioneer in the world of podcast guesting. And I think it's really interesting because now everybody's discovered podcasts. People are realizing that this is a great way to get in front of the right audiences. But before we get into how you started Interview Valet, I'd love to know more about your journey. How did you get here and realize that this was something that you could uniquely offer?
Well, I think life is a evolution, not a revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I always look at what's the problem that people have. And my last business was HubSpot's first e-commerce case study. We built it up entirely with inbound marketing. And when I built that company up and sold it off, I was in a mastermind group. And about 2013, people started to ask, well, how did you do it? And I was like, well, guest blogs. But, you know, blogs didn't work. That's over a decade ago. But at that point, I started to think, I wonder if you could use podcast interviews, just like we used to use guest blogs, to tap into that audience, to get that know, like, and trust. Because, you know, the biggest problem most businesses have, I would say all businesses have, is obscurity, right? There's lots of people that would gladly buy your product or service. The problem is they don't know you exist. And this idea of breaking through the noise has gotten to be laughable. Everybody's yelling, nobody's getting heard. So podcast interviews were a way to get heard by your ideal clients and build your brand and build your business.
Yeah. Well, and the noise is even louder today. The world is changing, algorithms, privacy laws, cookies, all of the different deliverability we have for these digital ecosystems. But there is one thing that you've really, you know, honed in on, which is storytelling, having somebody else share your story and your message is never going to go away.
Well, it worked for our grandparents, and I think it'll work for our grandchildren. I don't know what their mediums are, but if you look back, you know, how would people sell in a small town? Well, go to the Rotary Club, go to the country club where the people were and get introduced, right? That's what we're doing here. And then we went to Ash Scene on television, or, you know, being on The Tonight Show. Right? Get Johnny Carson to vouch for you, to introduce you. You were tapping into someone else's audience. And that's what we're doing today, really, with podcast interviews and the idea of just using the technology to make it easier and make it more powerful.
Yeah. But podcasting is entering its 21st year of existence. You've been in this industry for 10 years with your agency to help people find the right podcast to get on. What have you seen change in that landscape?
Well, you called me a pioneer, right? If it works out, you become a pioneer. If it doesn't, you become a crazy man.
Right.
And for that first probably 4 or 5 years, I was the crazy guy. And I'd have to explain to people what a podcast was. You know, every business owner, you've got your elevator pitch. So what do you do? And I'd give my elevator pitch and people would go, huh? What's a podcast? And then probably about 2019, it started to change where people understood what a podcast was. And to me, it was never so much about the medium as it was about the solution that it could do, right? Mm-hmm. Even now, podcast, what does that term mean? If somebody is watching this, you know, on YouTube or social media, is that still a podcast? If it's, you know, right now, a lot of podcasts are simulcast or rebroadcast on terrestrial radio or XM radio. Is that still a podcast? I don't know. All I care about is that people are hearing the content that we're putting there. So it's evolving, but I think it's evolving for the better too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to your point, it's a podcast, but mine is also a vodcast, but I also have it on digital radio. I also have it as a TV show on a streaming platform. So it's available in all these different methodologies to reach people where they are and to reach the right people where they are.
You know, years ago, I asked my daughters, what does the pod stand for in podcast? And they rolled their eyes and they're like, I don't know, Dad, what's the pod stand for? They had no idea what an iPod was. They had never grown up with that. To them, it was like something you got from your phone or you streamed. And it's like, no, when this first started out, you had to be techie and you download it and then put your iPod in there, put the cord in there, and then sync whatever it was, the four or five episodes that would fit. And that's how you listen to it. That's where podcast came from.
I probably have a couple of iPods still somewhere in this house. So, that is hilarious. I love that. So it's changed, obviously. It's evolved. People use video. You present them in different formats. But the way I'm sure that you find the right podcasts and the right guests for each podcast hasn't changed. So what is some of the methodology you use? Because you have a great roster of very highly qualified people who are experts in their industries, who make, honestly, amazing guests. You prepare them so well compared to so many other people out there who are trying to be agencies or maybe saying that they offer that as a service, or, you know, even people who just try to find great podcasts to be on their own.
It's tough. It's challenging. And I would say not only do we have a great roster of amazing, we call them certified guests, we also have relationships with amazing hosts. Mm. And you have to have the two of those together. And when you said it hasn't changed much, well, I am embarrassed sometimes when I think of what we did 10 years ago. It was more podcast guessing than podcast guesting. There was no data. You're just like, oh, this name sounds good. This is what they talk about. You try to put them together. Now, early on, it was a lot of relationships, right? We just don't go out and pitch podcasters. We want to talk to them to find out what their show's about, what they're looking to do, where they want to go with that, and then getting to know the guest also to make that connection. But there's also a lot of data that goes along with it, too. Mm-hmm. Now you can find lookalike audiences. You can find the demographics about different podcasts. So with that, it really helps you get more scientific and more targeted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that information, people are like, where is it? Well, it's like a lot of information. You've got to buy the databases. But honestly, I look back now and say what we were doing 10 years ago, and I would say what a lot of people are trying to do by themselves or just startup agencies, mm-hmm. it's more podcast guessing than podcast guesting.
Yeah. It's one of the things that drives me crazy as a host. When somebody just sends me a blanket email, they don't put any information, they don't talk about why they would be a great guest or why their potential guest would be a great guest, what they have to offer to the audience when they're just like, hey, I came across your podcast and it sounds great. Let's connect. I want to be on it. People still do that almost on a daily basis. I will get emails where people aren't really, and like, do you have me listen to the, you know, any episodes? Do you resonate? Do you think you have a message that's different that will offer something to the audience? And it's funny because I've worked as a publicist as well. So it's like being on the other side, right? You have a methodology for how you're going to find the right journalists, if you will, or podcast hosts, and make sure that they really are the right target for your guests so that your guests will be reaching the audience that will want to know about them, will want to know about their products, services.
Yeah. We just started our podcast last fall. And before that, even now, you know, before that, I would get typically two or three pitches a day of people wanting to be on my podcast. it would always say, you know, the same way, "Dear Tom, I hope this day finds you well. I love your podcast and would love to be a guest on it." I didn't have a podcast. And at times I had an autoresponder where I'd just say, "If you can send me the link to your favorite episode, I'll send you a link to the calendar. Let's make this happen." But there were times where I would forward that back on to the person that they were pitching. And yeah. It's like, do you realize what they're doing? They're just blanket pitching, and they're making you look unprofessional in here too. So that's one of the reasons we don't use the word pitch internally at our company. And I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
But you pitch an idea, you pitch a story, you don't pitch a human being, you introduce a human being. And that's really what we're focused on doing.
Yeah. Well, and that is a shift in the way that you look at relationships and the way that you look at how we're having, you know, this is an energy exchange. It's conversation. Right. And it's something that's going to add value for both of us to the audience. And, you know, and obviously the guests that you your company's brought me have been fantastic guests. How do you decide who you're going to work with?
Well, there's a litmus test. So our mission at Interview Valet is to personally introduce inspiring thought leaders to millions of people they could serve for the betterment of all. So they have to be an inspiring thought leader. They have to be focused on serving for the betterment of all, right? This has got to be a win for the audience, for the host, for them, for us. So there's that heart. And you talked about the energy, right? They've got to have the right heart. The next one is they've got to fit in our verticals, right? And we don't do everything. We focus on business, health, nutrition, and wellness, a little bit about family and relationships. So that's sort of the second litmus test. The third litmus test is we believe in life, there's two answers. There's heck yes and no. So we look at them and say, can we deliver these people amazing results? And if it's a heck yes, then we'll offer to work with them. If it's, I'm not sure, no, we're not going to work with them. But some of the things that we're looking with are, you know, is their business set up for transactions or relationships, right? Is it lifetime value? If they're just trying to sell a fiction book and make a dollar each on it, it's a hard thing to do. But if they're a professional services organization or a coach or a consultant and they've got a nonfiction book that drives the rest of the business, oh yeah, heck, that works. Or the other thing we look at is, what is their audience? Is it very, very regional or local, or is it more national, right? If all of your clients have to drive within 10 miles to work with you, national or global podcasts will not work, or at least they'll be very, very, very inefficient. And then, you know, the third thing we're looking at is from the standpoint of the lifetime value of a client. Is it a transaction or a relationship? And the bigger the lifetime value, the more people have to know, like, and trust you, right? If I'm just buying a widget, right? I joke earbuds. I still use the wired earbuds because every 2 weeks I send them through the wash and kill them.
I know.
To me, that's a disposable. I don't have to know. I buy the cheapest ones. But if I'm hiring somebody that's a consultant, a service provider, and that's a big decision on my life or on my business, I want to make sure that I know, like, and trust them. So it's much more of a relationship sale.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about this concept of one conversation away. In fact, you wrote a book about this. What I think is interesting is on my side of things, because I am not in your shoes, right? But when I am working with clients at a marketing agency, sometimes I'll put them on different podcasts just so that they can start kind of like, same way I'll put them in littler articles or smaller publications so they can just learn how to share the message that we've created, and they can learn how to share their story and take out those filler words and the other things and just get comfortable before they get to those where I would think that your clients and customers are coming in, where they are ready to have those bigger conversations.
Well, I still struggle with filler words.
And I cannot tell. You don't seem like that at all.
the word right, I say way, way too often. I struggle with that. And I think sometimes you can't say enough of the right things to the wrong people or the wrong things to the right people, right? You don't have to be a perfect speaker. You just have to be passionate and clear about what your service is. And most everybody is passionate. I think some people with practice get clearer with that.
Yeah.
But I think where one conversation away came from was really a reaction to the marketing slogan of one funnel away, right? And everything is, I believe in automation, there's a place for it. But this idea, oh, you're one funnel away. You're one funnel away from this lifestyle that you want, you know, from a boat. And I'm just pulling my hair out and thinking nothing in my life that has ever been meaningful has come through a funnel. It's come through a conversation.
Right.
You know, my best clients, my best team members, my best partners, my best friends, my bride, did not come through a funnel, right? I did not do Facebook ads
right.
and the perfect funnel and boom, out pops Karen, right? No, it was a conversation and a friend introduced us together. And so I think we need to focus on conversations because especially as a brand or as a business, we can sit down and just work for hours the entire weekend. I'm going to put this perfect funnel together. I'm going to put this perfect campaign together. And it's like, how many people did actually you talk to or did you hear? Well, nothing. I'm getting everything perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can go out there and start talking to people, getting their feedback. They'll tell you what they love and what they loathe. And you just have to have those conversations. And to me, that's the powerful thing. This is the conversations. That's what at least starts them into the automation. You can have a perfect funnel, but if you don't have the conversation, it'll stay empty.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot with different marketing techniques. And it's always the tried and true of the referrals, right? The people that you meet through other people who already trust a company or a brand or a service. That's so much stronger.
That type of marketing, better marketing makes easier sales.
Oh, yeah.
When people start saying, I'm awful at sales, then maybe it's just that your marketing is bad. Right? Because if all of a sudden you're getting warm referrals, they're not hard to close. They've already been sold by the person that referred them. But if you're trying to take cold traffic from a Facebook ad, you're going to have to work hard and kiss a lot of frogs in order to find one customer. And
yeah.
I talked with a client prospect last year, and I remember him saying that he needed to get 5,000 leads this year from podcast interviews.
Yeah.
And he was a high-level consultant. And I remember asking him, 5,000, I don't know anybody that has gotten that many leads from what you're doing on podcast interviews. I'm like, why do you need 5,000? And he said, well, I want 5 new clients this year. And last year I had 1,000 leads from Facebook to get one client.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, no, you need 5 leads that are the right lead to come into there. It's not more is not better. Better is better.
Absolutely. And that's why the concept of being in front of the right audience is so important and something that people can get along. Because I do think a lot of people approach the world of podcasting the way that they approach everything else in digital marketing and media, where it's all about scale and, oh, I just have to be on as many as possible. And sometimes that could work, but for most people, it's probably not going to. Then you get exhausted from having to tell your story. And how do you have time to do anything else in your business?
And every interview starts sounding the same.
Yeah.
And I guarantee if they're doing that many interviews, they're not promoting them, which really makes them look bad in the podcasting community. They're not repurposing the content. And so they're doing a lot of activity, but they're not getting the most out of it. Why not do fewer interviews, but get more out of it by promoting it, by repurposing it? You know, there's this whole thing of more, more, more scale, right? In the time we're talking here, both of us could have sent over 1 million emails, right?
Yeah.
You could send over 1 million emails in under a minute, but what would they do? One of our clients, I love how she said it, Gail Moody Bird, was a past client. She's now with LinkedIn. She's their CMO for Sales Navigator. I love how she says, we are getting more efficient at things that are getting less effective. And I think, what are we optimizing for? Mm-hmm. Are we optimizing for more clicks, more Facebook likes, more leads? No, as a business, as a brand, we're optimizing for more profits. Because more profits means that we've created more value in the marketplace. But there are people that value what we do so much that they'll give their money and good money to do that. So I always think of, what are we optimizing for? It's creating value, and you can measure that by profits.
I know this will be a little bit of a biased question because you have an agency, but if somebody's listening right now, they're trying to figure out their strategy, their podcast strategy for their marketing mix, and they want to work with an agency such as Interview Valet, what are some things, what are some questions they need to ask? What are some things they should look for from an agency?
I am glad that you use the word strategy, because so many people are just like, oh, I want to get on lots of shows. Can you help me get on shows? That's not a strategy. Mm-hmm. That's just a tactic, right? So what you really want to look for is somebody that is a partner that is focused on getting results, not just activity. And some of the things that you can ask is, how do they build the relationships in the community? Because when you hire somebody, you're trying to tap into their knowledge, their relationships. If not, you could do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too is, what systems do they have? What processes do they have? You don't want to keep making it up as you go. And, you know, I openly share with what we do, right? It's not a secret. It's not a magic trick, right? It's a process. And I wrote a book, and I'm not here to sell the book. I'll give away free copies of it. But it was written a number of years ago, and it's like, this is how to do podcast interview marketing. And there's been a couple of agencies that have called me up and told me, and like, I can think of one in South Africa during COVID that built their entire agency off of the book. And I'm like, great. That's not a market we're going for. If you have any questions, let me know. But you really want to think about your partner. What are they bringing that you couldn't bring already?
Mm-hmm.
And like before, we talked about the data. If they're not paying the tens of thousands of dollars for that data, then you're guessing as good as they're guessing. They don't have established relationships in the podcasting space, then they're cold pitching just the same way other people are. And then the other thing too I would look at is, what focus do they have in podcasting, right? People will come to us and say, you know, do you do comedy podcast, education, entertainment? Like, no, right? That's not our focus. That's not our relationships there. So make sure that they focus in there. And then the other thing I would do is look at more than one, and to get a sense of how they look at it. Do they look at podcasting as just like, oh, this is a fun activity and, you know, just exposure? That's okay, right? If that's what you're going for. If there's other people that look at it as a pure public relations play, and I don't say that's wrong,
right,
but that's what they focus it on. We look at it as more of a marketing aspect, so that we've got, you know, the calls to action, the metrics, and make sure that aligns with what you're trying to do for the goals of the podcast.
Mm. I love talking about data. I think it's so important to have the storytelling and the fuzzy and the warm, but also the data that backs everything up and shows you if you're going on the right direction or not, like you're saying. So with that data, because I know as a podcaster, I can look at my Spotify versus my backend Apple versus my Buzzsprout versus Chartable, and everyone measures things a little bit differently. So as an agency, having to comb through all this data to really figure out what the right podcasts are that are going to be the top podcasts for your guests, how do you break through all of that? Because that's like clutter in data.
Well, you're looking, the data is not perfect. And I would argue that even the data that Google gives you and Facebook gives you, it may be impressive. They might have it down to the penny, but that's not perfect data. And Rand Fishkin from SEO Moz gives a great example of this. He's like, I'm talking on a podcast or on a stage, and somebody's like, oh, I want to work with him. They go to Google, they misspell his name. Google's going to take him to his site, and they're going to say, we brought you that traffic. But what happens when somebody gets distracted, they don't buy, they leave, Now, Facebook retargeting brings them back and they buy. So Facebook is going to say, that's 100% us.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's not true. It's not them. It's not Google. It's a little bit of both. But he's like, if you believe that everything has to be attributed 100%, then he's like, you should stop public speaking. You should stop podcast interviews. You should stop advertising on the Little League team because you can't attribute that. What you're looking for is more trends, right? So if Chartable tells you you're getting better, if Spotify tells you you're getting better, you can tell that trend going there.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're looking at.
Well,
and even we work with our clients on the back end so that they can see how the podcast performed. And this is important because we worked with one client. I love this example. This gentleman was a high-level tax CPA. And he came to us and he said, my goal is to have 50 different clients in 50 different states in 50 different industries.
Whoa.
And I'm like, why? Well, he was brick and mortar in Long Island the last recession. He's like, it almost wiped me out. So I want to be ultimately diversified. So Anika, this was easy. All you do is throw darts at a dartboard on podcasts, right? And that's what we did for the first few months. And then we looked at the data. And he was on a dental podcast. And we were able to see the traffic that came back to his site from that, from some of the things that we do. And we took it to him. We're like, Craig, you killed this dental podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, I already got a client from that. And I think I have a few more calls scheduled. And he's like, I love dentists. They're recession-proof. They're professional, you know, good cash flow. So for the next 6 months, all we did was get him on dental podcasts, and to the point where he had his own dental podcast now after a while. And if he didn't have that data, he never would have known that. So, you know, everybody's got an opinion, but if you got the data, then you can make the decisions.
That's such a great case study. And that really shows the value of working with an agency that is going to take some of the guessing away from trying to figure out what podcast to be on as a guest and really like drill down.
Because you think about that, the dental podcasts are not huge. So if you just say, I want to be on huge podcasts, well, they're probably not going to have your ideal customer. Or if it's a podcast based on aspirational entrepreneurs, right? People just starting out. Well, it could be a huge podcast, but those people aren't going to be hiring a tax pro, right? The taxes is not their problem right now. It's just making that next dollar is a problem for them. So it's a little bit of art, a little bit of science, and a whole lot of experience.
That is just amazing. There's no other word. I get pitched all the time and never know exactly how people are finding me, how different companies are finding me, or how individuals are finding me. And so hearing how you use data, it's a really good education for myself. And selfishly, I'm excited to have you on because I'm learning all this stuff.
Yeah, my team has what they call Tomisms, right? It's things I say and they keep repeating. And one of them is, in God we trust, everyone else bring data. And then the other one is, hope is not a strategy. So you just don't want to go on and say, well, I hope I get on the right podcast. No, you use the data, and I hope my next podcast will convert. Well, make sure you learn something from the last ones.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see as the next phase? I mean, we've talked a little bit about you move from blogging to podcasting and using people's audiences in that way. And now we know that podcasts aren't just something you listen to, they're not just audible, but they can be video, they could be streaming, they can be on radio, they can be on all these other platforms at the same time.
I really think the next step, and this is what we're working with our clients on, is not only impacting the people that listen to the podcast, but impacting the people that don't listen to it. Because this is such rich content. You can repurpose it. You can slice it and dice it and put it up on social media and have people listen to, quote unquote, your interview or your podcast without listening to the entire thing. I've got to admit, I have never in my life listened to a full episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, right? The most popular podcast out there. But I consider myself a listener of Joe Rogan because I love to listen to the 60-second or 90-second clips, right? I don't have the patience or the time to listen to a 2 or 3 hour podcast, but give me the best parts out of it. That is gold. And so we're helping our clients do that, of repurposing the content, taking the golden nuggets out of it and putting it in different forms, video, images, posts. And so you get me everywhere out there. And you see a lot of people doing this, right? Alex Hormozy, Gary Vaynerchuk, right? And it's not that they are creating any more content than you and I. They are just capturing more of it and distributing it out there, right? You and I have as many conversations probably as either one of those people, but we're just not recording them. And then shame on us when we do record it. We're like, oh, that's a great interview. Let's go on to the next one. No, slice it and dice it and put it up there.
You know, that's really hitting the nail on the head there, because that's something I'm working on right now as I move from being, you know, I had a couple of other podcasts. Before that, I had a radio show and Facebook Live show, and the other podcasts were for clients. And then they didn't really have budget, so I moved into doing my own. And now I'm at the point where I take it so much more seriously. And I'm looking at, I haven't taken the time and intentionality to utilize all of the things I can with my own podcast for myself and for my guests and for the listeners to be able to get the content in different formats. So that's something I'm actually actively working on right now, so that your guests and yourself will get a folder with, here's 10 video assets you can use. And, you know, here's some social media posts and some captions. And but I love the fact that you're already doing that as well for your clients to help add that value to that relationship.
And that adds value to the podcast host also, because never forget, a podcast is copyrighted material, right? So you always want to ask the host, do you mind if I repurpose this and promote it? And, oh, by the way, I'll attribute you in everything, right? When I was on, you know, your brand, this is my clip when I was on Your Brand Amplified. And, you know, podcast hosts are like, I don't care where people see me, just so long as they see me. And, you know, if you're known as the guest that repurposes the content and amplifies it and puts it out there, wow, you're a lot more of an attractive guest as opposed to the one that says, you know, dear ma'am or sir, I would like to be a guest on your podcast.
Another thing that you talk about is this concept that interviews on podcasts convert at a very high rate when you're having the right conversations, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? And you talked with your dentist, podcast.
This is a study that I did with HubSpot back in, I think it was 2016. Ooh. And a good blog at that time, it would convert 1% to 2%, meaning that if someone went to the blog and spent, you know, more than a minute on it, 1% to 2% of them would fill out the lead form. And that was a good conversion rate. Well, when we started podcast interviews and podcast interview marketing, we were seeing conversion rates of 25%, 50%. Highest we ever saw was, I think, 95%. And now, remember, that is not from listener to lead. That's from visitor to lead. And at first I thought, no, this couldn't be. And the more I thought about it and, you know, talked through it with some different people, especially a lot of the inbound marketing people, they said, well, it makes sense, right? If somebody listens to you for 30 or 45 minutes, they're turning you up or turning you off, right? They've already self-selected. And so when they come back to your website, why wouldn't they fill out the form? Why wouldn't they download that resource? They're not just coming in to skim a blog. No, they've already listened to you for, you know, 30 or 45 minutes. It's almost like a personal introduction or somebody seeing you, you know, speak to a small group. So with that, once again, what are you focusing on, right? Because sometimes we'll have people come to us and say, well, what percentage of the audience visit our site? Like, is that what you want? Well, no, but that's the usual metric where you set. And I'm like, you're not going to have a high percentage usually going to your website, right? If you want that, you know, offer a raffle for, you know, I don't know, a free Tesla, right? If you order that, you will have lots of people going there, registering. They won't become clients, but you know, you'll get your metric. What you get is the people that come, and the data shows this, they close faster. They close for a higher initial engagement. There's less churn and less lifetime value, right? So it's really a different type of lead. It's a better lead from that standpoint. And like I said before, the better the marketing, the easier the sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've actually listened to podcasts where I heard a guest and was intrigued by what they had to say and went to their website. So I've seen that in action myself on both sides. How many podcasts is a good number for people to think about being on? Because I have people come on and say, I was on 20 podcasts last year. And I have other people say, I challenged myself to go on, you know, 20 podcasts a month. What's a good rule of thumb for somebody who is looking at getting into and dipping their toes into this world?
All right. Now, this is embarrassing. And I'm going to do a confession here. In 2016, I tried to set the Guinness Book of World Records for the most interviewed person on podcast.
My gosh.
Thankfully, by the grace of God and Guinness saying, there's no record of that, we're not going to do this. Oh. I didn't win it. Because at that time, I was all more, more, more. And the thing was, is I wasted a lot of time giving meaningless interviews. Yeah. And most of them, with pod fade and everything, most of them didn't even air or aired for a little bit, and then they stopped paying the hosting bill, right? Getting on lots of podcasts is not a problem, right? If you want to get on podcasts, just go on Facebook and say, I'm starting to guest, you know, what show do I want to, or who wants me as a guest, right? Good. You'll get that, but you won't get results from it. So what our data shows and what we advise our clients is that when our clients would do less than two great interviews a month, they'd never get in the flow of it, right? They'd never get comfortable with it. Flip side, I don't advise people to do more than one great interview a week, right? And maybe if you're doing a book launch, you do a few more, but on average, I wouldn't advise doing more than one great one a week. And that's because that way it can be a meaningful standalone interview that you're just focusing on one thing. It doesn't sound like Groundhog's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also promote it. You can repurpose it. Because if you're doing, you know, if you're doing two or three a week, you're not repurposing it. You're not promoting it. Mm-hmm. You're just basically be crude. It's like a one-night stand, right? Boom. We show up, we talk for a little bit, and there's no interaction afterwards. And that's not good for your brand. And it's not good for your reputation with podcasts, because often podcasters will look you up on social media, and they'll also look you up on like a free site like Listen Notes and say, okay, you know, in the last month, they've done seven interviews and none of them have been promoted on their website or in their social media. Why would I bring them on? So you shoot yourself in the foot. So my general rule of thumb is do somewhere between two a month and four a month.
Yeah. And that sounds doable. It's not too stressful when you're fitting it in with work and family and everything else that we have going on in our lives as humans.
And it forces you to be more selective also. Mm-hmm. And Alex Sanfilippo from Podmatch was talking about this the other day. And it, you know, this idea of just doing more isn't going to help with that. The concept was first introduced to me by a great guy, by one of our clients, Steve Acho. And Steve taught me that more is not better, better is better. And Steve is a high-level recruiter. And he's like, what serves you better if you're looking for a new employee? If I give you 7 billion resumes, right? One for every person alive. You can go to monster.com and get that. Does that help you? Or if I come to you and say, here are the three people that would change your business, right? I'd rather have the three people. And I think it's the same way with podcasts. You know, what's going to change your business to being on that handful of great podcasts that your ideal customers listen to and they respect the host? Mm-hmm. Or is it being seen, you know, on all these podcasts? I refer to some of them as, God love them, Wayne's World podcasts. Remember Wayne's World?
Yes.
Two guys in their mom's basement. that's probably not going to help your reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, there's so many other things that we could be talking about, and we could go down those rabbit holes. But what I want to ask next is, the best way for people to learn more about if you're the right agency for them is to go to Interview Valet.
It is. And here, let me show you something that you would learn in the book. So our testing has always shown that you should send people to one place. Don't confuse them, and give them three ways to say yes, right? Give them a small yes, a medium yes, and a heck yes. Meet them where they are. So here's what it looks like on a podcast. You know, if somebody wants to connect with me, you can go back to interviewvalet.com/amplified. And there's three ways I can help you there. One's a quick assessment, right? 10 questions. Will podcast interview marketing work for me? It'll give you some suggestions there. You know, if anybody wants a free copy of my book, you can buy it on Amazon, or if you go there, I'm more than happy to send you, either email you a copy, or if you're in the United States, mail you a copy. That's medium yes. And then the heck yes is always, you know, if somebody listens to this and they're like, wow, this makes a whole lot of sense. If you'd like to talk with me or my team, you can, we'll put this calendar scheduling link there. You can schedule a time, no obligation, but just see how you could leverage this. So all of those are back at interviewvalet.com/amplified.
And I will have that in the show notes. And that just makes all of our lives so much easier. So Tom, any last thoughts that you'd like to share?
I guess the last one is, I believe we're blessed to be a blessing, right? We all know something that could help someone else. And now it's never easier to share that. You know, either writing a blog, writing a post, being a podcast host, being a podcast guest. What you know is amazing to others. So I would encourage you, however you can, make the world a better place and share what you know.
That's beautiful. I always ask one last question, which is, do you have a favorite quote, mantra? You've given us some of your isms already. But are there any other words that really resonate with you and that you live by every day?
One that is always on my heart since I was in the Navy is, what's ordinary to you is amazing to others, right? We often underestimate what we know and overestimate what other people know.
Yeah.
Right? Knows fourth grade math is a genius to the person that knows second grade math, and they can help them. So I always remind myself and others of that, and especially with our clients. What's ordinary to you is amazing to others.
Yeah. Never have there been truer words. Tom Schwab of Interview Valet, thank you for being here and giving our audience so much great information about the guest side of podcasting, how you got here, how podcasting has changed, and what to look for in that one next powerful conversation that you could be away from in your journey to amplify your business.
Thank you, Anika.
And thank you to everybody for listening or watching this episode. I know that you'll get a lot of value out of it, just like I have. And I will have all the information for Tom's offers in the show notes for you. And I will be back again in a few days with another amazing expert to help you get a little closer to making your business everything that you want it to be.
Want more? Check out AmplifyWithAnika.com or follow me on socials at AmplifyWithAnika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at Simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.